As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Our Sunday Talks. Today's talk was edited and adapted from The Soul of the Indian, which was written by the Native American author and physician Charles Eastman, published in 1911. The original attitude of Native Americans toward the eternal, the great mystery that surrounds and embraces us, was as simple as it was exalted. To them it was the supreme conception, bringing with it the fullest measure of joy and satisfaction possible in this life. The worship of the great mystery was silent, solitary, free from all self-seeking. It was silent because all speech is of necessity feeble and imperfect. Therefore the souls of my ancestors ascended to God in wordless adoration. It was solitary because they believe that the Creator is nearer to us in solitude, and there were no priests authorized to come between them and their Maker. None might exhort or confess or in any way meddle with the religious experience of another. They were created children of God and stood erect as conscious of their divinity. Their faith might not be formulated in creeds, nor forced upon any who were unwilling to receive it. Hence there was no preaching, proselytizing, nor persecution. Neither were there any scoffers or atheists. Being natural men and women, Native Americans were intensely poetical. There were no temples or shrines among them save those of nature. They would have deemed it sacrilege to build a house for the Creator who may be met face to face in the mysterious, shadowy aisles of the primeval forest, or on the sunlit bosom of virgin prairies, upon dizzy spires and pinnacles of naked rock, and yonder in the jeweled vault of the night sky. The God who enrobes himself in filmy veils of cloud, there on the rim of the visible world where our great-grandfather Sun kindles his evening campfire, the God who rides upon the rigorous wind of the north, or breathes forth his spirit upon aromatic southern airs, whose war canoe is launched upon the majestic rivers and inland seas. He needs no lesser cathedrals. That solitary communion with the unseen, which was the highest expression of the Native Americans' religious life, is partly described in the word Bombaday, which literally means mysterious feeling, but has also been variously translated as fasting and dreaming. It may be better interpreted as meaning a, quote, consciousness of the divine. The first Bombaday, or religious retreat, marked an epoch in the life of a young person, and may be compared to that of confirmation or conversion in Christian experience. Having first prepared themselves by means of the purifying vapor bath, and cast off as far as possible all human fleshly influences, the youth sought out the noblest height, the most commanding summit in all the surrounding region. Knowing that God sets no value upon material things, they took no offerings or sacrifices other than symbolic objects. Wishing to appear before the Creator in all humility, they wore no clothing save their moccasins and breech clout. At the solemn hour of sunrise or sunset, they then took up their position, overlooking the glories of earth and facing the great mystery. And there they remained, naked, erect, silent, and motionless, exposed to the elements and forces of God's arming, for a night and a day, 2 days and nights. Sometimes they would chant a hymn without words, or offer the ceremonial-filled pipe. In this holy trance or ecstasy, the young Native American mystic found their highest happiness and the motive power of their existence. When they returned to the camp, they had to remain at a distance until they had again entered the vapor bath and prepared themselves for communication with others. Of the vision or sign vouchsafed to the young adult, they did not speak, unless it had included some commission which must be publicly fulfilled. However, sometimes an old person, standing upon the brink of eternity, might reveal to a chosen few the oracle of their long past youth. The original Native Americans were generally despised by their white conquerors for their poverty and simplicity, forgetting that the natives' religion forbade the accumulation of wealth and the enjoyment of luxury. To them, as to other single-minded persons in every age and race, from Diogenes to the brothers of Saint Francis to the Shakers, the love of possessions has appeared a snare, and the burdens of a complex society a source of needless peril and temptation. Furthermore, it was the rule of Native American life to share the fruits of their skill and success with their less fortunate brothers and sisters. Thus they kept their spirit free from the clog of pride, cupidity, or envy, and carried out, as they believed, the divine decree, a matter profoundly important to them. It was not then wholly from ignorance or improvidence that Native Americans failed to establish permanent towns and to develop a material civilization. To them, the concentration of population was the prolific mother of all evils, moral no less than physical. They argued that food is good, while excess kills. That love is good, but lust destroys, and that a loss of spiritual power is the inevitable result of too close contact with masses of people. All who have lived much out of doors know that there is a magnetic force that accumulates in solitude and produces within us a certain innate power and self-poise, wholly independent of circumstances, one which then quickly dissipates when we are forced to live amongst the crowd. Native Americans divided the mind into two parts, the spiritual mind and the physical mind. The first is pure spirit, concerned only with the essence of things, and it is this part that is strengthened by spiritual prayer, during which the body is subdued by fasting and hardship. In this type of prayer, there is no beseeching favor or help. All matters of personal or selfish concern, as success in our endeavors, relief from sickness, or the sparing of a beloved life, are relegated to the plane of the lower or material mind, and all ceremonies designed to secure a benefit or to avert a danger are recognized as emanating from the physical self. The rites of this physical worship, again, are wholly symbolic, and early Native Americans no more worship the sun than the Christians adore the cross. The sun and the earth, by an obvious parable, holding scarcely more of poetic metaphor than of scientific truth, were in the natives' view the parents of all organic life. From the sun, as the universal father, proceeds the quickening principle in nature, and in the patient and fruitful womb of our mother, the earth, are hidden embryos of plants and humanity. Therefore, the Native Americans' reverence and love for sun and earth was really an imaginative extension of their love for their human parents. And with this sentiment of filial piety was joined a willingness to appeal to them, as to a parent, for such good gifts as they may desire. This is the material or physical prayer. The elements and majestic forces in nature, lightning, wind, water, fire, and frost, were regarded with awe as spiritual powers, but always secondary and intermediate in character. They believe that the spirit pervades all creation, and that every creature possesses a soul in some degree, though not necessarily a soul conscious of itself. The tree, the waterfall, the grizzly bear, each is an embodied force, and as such, an object of reverence. Natives love to come into sympathy and spiritual communion with their brothers and sisters of the animal kingdom, whose inarticulate souls had for them something of the sinless purity that we attribute to the innocent and irresponsible child. They had faith in animal instincts, as in a mysterious wisdom given from above. And while they humbly accepted the supposedly voluntary sacrifice of animal bodies as food to preserve their own, they paid homage to the animal's spirits in prescribed prayers and offerings. In every religion there is an element of the supernatural, varying with the influence of pure reason over its devotees. The Native American was a logical and clear thinker upon matters within the scope of their understanding, but they had not yet charted the vast field of nature or expressed her wonders in terms of science. They saw miracles on every hand, the miracle of life in seed and egg, the miracle of death in lightning flashes and in the swelling deep. Nothing of the marvelous could astonish them, such as if an animal should speak or the sun stand still. The virgin birth would appear scarcely more miraculous than the birth of every child that comes into the world, or the miracle of loaves and fishes excite more wonder than the harvest that springs from a single ear of corn. Who may condemn their superstition? Surely not the devout Catholic or Protestant missionary who teaches Bible miracles as literal fact. The logical individual must either deny all miracles or none. And Native American myths and hero stories are perhaps, in themselves, quite as credible as those of the Hebrews of old.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.